Let's go down, down, down the elevator. Every single day, well, Monday through Friday, 1900 UTC. So whenever we fall back, or spring, I don't know, whenever the time changes, you'll hear it will be a slightly different energy. All right, so we're on the edge here, Nissan truck pulling in. I'm just trying to get a view of the landscape to make sure there aren't any. Gosh, I'm getting a lot of crinkle. I've got a lot of crinklies in the microphone. I'll sit down. All right. Well, okay. Well, so who am I talking to? What's going on? Well, the thing that's fun with an on radio is that a lot of people hang out in comm during live shows. So all you got to do is SSH over to sdf.org, or you can go to tty.sdf.org. And once you are there, in launch comm, just COM and press enter. You type G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word. Boom. You'll be in the comm, commode chat, in Anon Radio with cool people like Claudia Wim and X1 and the Z-Man, Zero Off, as well as, yeah. Looks like, sorry, there's maybe a little bit of confusion. So just to kind of share the knowledge here for X1 and Co. X1 knows this, and Ratsu, shout out, hey, it's 2019, essentially, I have an alert 10 minutes before the show for me to start to leave my desk, but when the alert pops up, often I'm in the middle of something, and so I hurry and wrap it up as soon as I can, but a lot of times, I only leave my desk at, like, 2 minutes till, so I get to the elevator, and then I start the show and I'll play a song, but as I'm going up and down the elevators, the show disconnects. Because News to Me is brought to you by iOS. That's right, I'm broadcasting and doing comm and all of that from, wow, where'd you go? It is heat, you know, like I said, it's 27 degrees, high of 29 today. We're not going to hit 30, but still, it's warm. And when it gets about this temperature, oh, there they are. Maybe I'll take a picture of this. But when it gets warm, let's see if it kicks me off for taking a photo. But when it gets warm, that means that it's wasp season. And actually, the door that I usually go in and out of the garage from the roof, they've made a nest. Some yellow jackets have made a nest on the door. So, like, not even on the overhang, but on the actual door. So if you open the door, you swung the door open coming from down the floor below, you would get a nice face full of yellow jackets. That's not a good thing. I'm going to walk away from the yellow jackets. Anyway, let's see what's going on. Quentin imagines table flips. I gotta get out of here. It's DJ Marcus time. It sometimes feels that way. But anyway, the cloud cover is sufficient that I think I can do this show from my phone away from the wasps. I'm with Ratsu, -- for the wasps. Hey, a Porsche Cayenne S convertible with the top down. All right, let's get into the news. We've got a lot of death and destruction, and then other news. So I'm going to try and go through it as quickly as I can, but we are going to miss out on some. So if there's some news that you were hoping to hear that I don't cover, sorry, Charlie. I'll try and get to it as best I can. But on Mondays, we've got a lot of death and destruction news to talk about. So we just go over to our bookmarks, desktop bookmarks, bookmarks menu, news to me, and then we look for May 22nd. Boom. All right, so we begin in Palestine. Three Palestinians have been killed. How, you might ask? Well, the way they normally are killed. Israeli forces, the Israeli army has killed three Palestinian men during a large-scale raid on the Balata refugee camp in the city of Nablus in the northern occupied West Bank. The Palestinian Health Ministry identified the three killed on Monday morning as Muhammad Abu Zaitoun, 32, Fatih Abu Rizik, 30, and Abdullah Abu Hamdan, 24. At least seven other Palestinians were injured, including four with live ammunition, and dozens of others suffered tear gas inhalation. Hundreds of Palestinians turned out for the funeral procession on Monday afternoon for the three men killed. A spokesman for the Palestinian Authority presidency described Monday's raid as a massacre. The continuous aggression on the city of Nablus, its villages and refugee camps by occupation forces and extreme Zionists, this statement, must end immediately. Oh, how weird. Sorry, I'm getting some odd ads. Odd targeted ads. And I remember I was, I did some searches for some strange stuff over the weekend. And I forgot that browsing Etsy for strange things will result in strange targeted ads. Anyway, so yeah, so three Palestinians are dead. But we're just getting started. Don't worry, we've got more death and destruction. Killing of indigenous Ecuador anti-oil activists spurs questions. Like we say, like it, one of those weird things that we point out. A lot of people dying, it's a tragedy, or it's a bummer. But one person died, it's a tragedy. It was a Sunday in late February, and Eduardo Mendua was doing what he was famous for, organizing against the oil drilling that's transformed his ancestral lands in Ecuador. Let's see. He was quoted saying, "We're not about to cede an inch of our territory so that oil companies destroy the spiritual beings and invisible people of our forests, rivers, lagoons, sacred places, ravines, medicine and trees." But it would be the last message he ever sent. Hours later, he was dead. Oh, look, it's a giant FedEx truck. I wonder where it's going. You can hear the booster trying its best to charge up. We'll wait for it to pass. It's funny, since the campus is so big and we're such a large organization, FedEx freight trucks will just show up. It's like, oh, we got a truck full of packages. Anyway, there was an environmental activist in Ecuador who was killed. And, you know, believe or not, it may or may not have been the oil companies he was protesting. But don't worry, at least 10 people were killed, 9 injured, in a cartel shootout in Baja, California. A shootout at a car show in northern Mexico has left at least 10 people dead and 9 others injured, the municipal government said on Saturday. Gunfire erupted during an all-terrain car racing show. Let's see what we got in comm. There's a lot going on. Tobe just wants killer bees. Yeah, we had a bad thing with killer bees around here in Texas, that's for sure. Ratsu has had very bad experience with swarm of wasps as a youth. Kenai88, hello, welcome, welcome. I've been trying for nearly a day to get VMware Workstation Pro 17 running. Okay. Oh, searching random words in other languages can help screw up targeted ads. Thanks. It does think that I speak Thai now because I was watching a lot of Mai Thai. Okay, cool. All right, so we got different pluses and minuses. Howdy, Claudio M. Hello, hello. Thank you for being active and hanging out. Gunfire erupted in San Vicente area of the city of Ensenada, the Baja California State Attorney General's office said. People with long guns were seen getting out of a van and shooting at the participants around 2:18 p.m. local time. Municipal and state police, the Marines, the fire department, and Mexican Red Cross were among the agencies responding to the scene. The wounded were transported to hospitals in northern Baja, California by Mexico's Red Cross. And a point of language or whatever, long guns are just like rifles or guns that, you know, have a long barrel. But one of the problems is that with gun control and gun laws, at least in the U.S. for sure, is that they just kind of describe what guns look like to try and regulate them, but they don't give any specifics. So that's why if you see anybody with, like, it looks like an AR-15, but it's got like it looks like a pistol grip, it's because it's technically a handgun or a pistol, as long as it's got that like handgun look. You'll know it when you see it, which I guess is why the law is the way it is. But it's very funny because they're just basically taking like an AR-15 and then sticking a pistol in it, so you can buy all the pieces. Anyway, guns, man, they're crazy and they're killing people like they're designed to do, but in a bad way. Kenai88, unless you really need VMware Workstation, you might want to look at VirtualBox. If you're using Linux, Vert Manager is a great QEMU KVM front end and in all the repos. I agree. I think QEMU is a great product. All right. So don't worry. That's not the only way you can die. At least 12 dead and nearly 100 injured in a stampede at an El Salvador stadium. At least 12 people died in a stampede at a football stadium. I want to be sure. Oh, got to close the ad here. All right. On Saturday night, fans were gathered at Cuscatlan Stadium in the capital of San Salvador to watch the game between Alianza Football Club and Club Deportivo FAS when a stampede occurred in the general seating section. 9 people were initially reported to have been killed, but local media later revised the death toll to 12. Officials at the stadium believe the stampede began when fans of the highly popular football teams tried to enter the venue. It was an avalanche of fans who overran the gate. Some were still under the metal in the tunnel. Others managed to make it to the stands and then to the field and were smothered. An unnamed volunteer with the nation's Rescue Commando's first aid group reportedly told El Mundo. Nearly 100 people, including children, had to be treated for injuries. Mauricio Arriaza, the director of the National Civil Police, said that between 400 and 500 people had gathered at the stadium, and the eagerness to see the game resulted in the stampede. Huh. I'm hearing a small engine sound, and I'm scanning the skies, because it sounds like a Cessna plane, but I could be wrong. Oh, well, they're too far away for me to see if they are. That's the problem with clouds. You can't see the planes if they're flying over. Anyway, so there's a stampede, lots of death. Let's see. Honorable guns are designed to stop the treath, and that takes a lot more bullets than just killing. Oh, that's from X1.
Quentin sums it up well. What is Quentin? Oh, yeah. That's a good point, Quentin. Good job. Thank you. Oh, man. My display is darkening. I guess it's not darkening. The sun. It's a relativistic thing. The sun is coming out, so my screen appears darker. LCD. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So let's keep on rolling, because there's more death and destruction. Don't worry. This time, it's a single person. Oops. Oops, all grenades. Well, that's what happened in the United States. An Indiana man was killed. How, you might ask? Well, was killed and his two children injured after a hand grenade found in his grandfather's belongings exploded. The blast happened on Saturday evening in Lake of the Four Seasons, a community of about 140 miles northwest of Indianapolis, about 225 kilometers. Police believe someone pulled the pin on the device. Well, that would make sense. The father died, and his 14-year-old son and 18-year-old daughter suffered shrapnel wounds. Both teenagers were taken to hospital. In a statement posted on Facebook, the Lake County Sheriff's Department said the responding officers found the 47-year-old victim fatally wounded at his home. He was declared dead and identified. A bomb squad was called to the scene to check if any other explosives were in the house. Authorities have not released any more information on the grenade or why it was in the grandfather's belongings. Something that happens quite frequently. I don't know if it's in other countries this is true, but in the U.S., a lot of soldiers would bring their munitions home. So they would bring their guns and their grenades and all sorts of wild shit home, landmines. And then they just put them in a box and then they put them in their closet. And then they get old and senile or die. And then, wouldn't you know it, there's a grenade or a landmine there. What usually happens, though, at least from the people that I know that have had these things, you just go out into the woods or somewhere and you go blow it up. You go like, oh, all right, let's go explode this. And you go out into the woods and blow it up and burn a fire or whatever, and life is good. It's a party. So anyway, unfortunately, it's been too long. So people nowadays probably don't believe that they're real. Anyway, a sad time indeed. I'm currently walking around to get down to the fourth floor. Since I can't go through the door, I guess I could, but I don't want to go through the door with wasps on it. So we are walking down to the fourth floor, the long way. But while we're going the long way, let's pull up the next story. This is just an update. The guy who choked and killed that guy on the subway, you may remember him, Jordan Neely, he says that he's not a white supremacist, which, I mean, it's hard to say. It seems like he was like just a, he seemed like a typical like tough bro guy who saw something, is always like raring to go. And so if somebody challenges him, he's like, yeah, sure, let's go. And so he put him in a chokehold and he died. So I think that's kind of the vibe this guy gives off. So it's not that he was a white supremacist, he's just a dick. So anyway, he's a murderer, so we'll see where he ends up. Let's check comm now that I can see again. Threat or treat or the dangerous activity. Northwest Indiana, doing Northwest Indiana things. Hey, Tobe, welcome. You don't need all your fingers, quit crying. Alright, so let's get into some destruction, because there is some destruction to talk about. A huge fire destroyed a historic post office in the Philippine capital of Manila, officials said on Monday. More than 80 fire trucks were sent to the decades-old landmark after the blaze broke out late on Sunday. Thick black smoke billowed hundreds of meters into the sky as flames gutted the neoclassical Manila Central Post Office. It took firefighters more than 7 hours to get the inferno under control. The whole building has burned, from the basement all the way to the fifth floor. The cause of the blaze was being investigated. Fire brigades from across the capital deployed personnel to fight the blaze that left one volunteer. It would not...
it would not be news to me, at least not right now, without the Harley-Davidson passing by. So anyway, one of the firefighters was hurt, but the post office, it's toast. So there's some destruction for you. I would point out it's 1921 UTC. We've got 9 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope, a fun show that airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC. Oh, wow, there's a lot more cigarette butts up here. I think we noticed them before in the past. But yeah, I imagine the other day when we were up here, somebody was in a car just smoking a bunch of weed. It was funny because I could smell it across the parking garage. And I was like, oh, wow, that's some serious smoking of weed going on over there. Anyway, other destruction news. Parts of New York are sinking. It's always been a question or something that people have talked about, but now there's proof. Several parts of New York appear to be sinking at a rate of 1 to 2 millimeters per year under the weight of countless skyscrapers. Brooklyn, Queens, and Lower Manhattan seem to be sinking due to a geological process called subsidence in which sediments shift and settle. The contribution to subsidence from the pressure exerted by the built environment of New York City was estimated in the study by researchers, including Tom Parsons from the U.S. Geological Survey. The estimation was arrived at by considering soil conditions and the load of over 1 million buildings weighing a cumulative 1.68 trillion pounds. The study also pointed out that it was not possible to ascertain the exact foundation circumstances for each building. The study also warned of an increasing flood risk. Previous studies have shown that the rapid rise in sea levels across the world due to global heating is set to pose major flood risk to coastal cities. So, Escape from New York, that old movie, it might be happening. Kander's pointing out, oh shit, granite doesn't float? Very true, very true. And the Z-Man, you accurately did hear a hog in the background. That is definitely going on. Oh, wow. that was like it looked like a Prius, but it was a Ford Fiesta buzzing along. Anyway, concrete canoes, who knew? They don't float. And if you make an island out of a trash heap and then put a bunch of skyscrapers on it, who knew? The skyscrapers sink. But yeah, with rising sea levels and the sinking, it's going to be a double whammy. They're going to have to figure something out. It's going to be like New Orleans or something, probably, with levees and stuff. Anyway, let's get into some technology news. We don't have a whole lot of time, so I'm going to go backwards through this. I'll give you some headlines, and then we'll jump through it. The NAACP is saying Florida is actively hostile to people of color and issues a travel warning. So saying, hey, if you don't have to, be careful. Don't go to Florida. So take that however you will. SpaceX, so this weekend, let's talk about space and then let's talk about nuclear. In space, SpaceX launched its second Axiom Space private astronaut mission to the ISS. Axiom Space's second private astronaut mission is on its way to the International Space Station after a launch yesterday. A SpaceX Falcon 9 lifted off from Kennedy Space Center's launch complex at 5:37 p.m. Eastern. The Crew Dragon spacecraft, carrying the four-person AX-2 crew, separated from the rocket's upper stage 12 minutes after takeoff. The Dragon spacecraft, named Freedom, is scheduled to dock at about 9:16 a.m. today, so it should have docked this morning. The spacecraft will remain there for 8 days before returning to its four-person crew. SpaceX dealt with a minor technical issue during a countdown involving a leak in a valve in the attitude control system. Benji Reed, Senior Director of Human Spaceflight Programs at SpaceX, said at a post-launch briefing that engineers determined the leak would not impair operations of the booster and went ahead with the launch. The booster landed successfully at Cape Canaveral's Landing Zone 1. So this is pretty cool. I always like it whenever those things return home and land. I think that's a pretty neat advancement in space technology. On that ship was the first Arab female astronaut. The first female Arab astronaut to go to space has arrived at the International Space Station. She's one of two Saudis on Axiom Space's second private mission, which took off yesterday. So she'll be there she'll be scheduled for 10 days in orbit. She's a 34-year-old biomedical scientist and is planning stem cell and breast cancer research.
She said, to the people around the world, the future is very bright. I would like you to dream big, believe in yourselves, and believe in humanity. So I thought that was cool, wanted to do something. Quick question from LCD. Anyone planning to migrate from mastodon.sdf to social.sdf? Boring spaceflight is exciting. Yeah, it's kind of funny that spaceflight has become this almost passe thing. There's a comedian in town who had a fun joke that was like, essentially like, man, in 20 years, being an astronaut's going to be like being a bus driver. It's going to be like, man, I'm an astronaut for now, but you know, that's just until I can save up some money and then I can get a real job. China has launched new science probes, SAR, SAT, and replacement Baidu satellite. China conducted a pair of launches last week to replenish its Baidu navigation system and to send science and radar test satellites into orbit. A Long March 2C rocket lifted off at 4 a.m. Eastern May 21st at the Jiuquan Satellite Launch Center in the Gobi Desert. Abroad, where the Macau Science Satellite, were those satellites 1A and 1B, designed to study the magnetic field of the Earth, and the Luoxia 2, a Ka-band synthetic aperture radar. So, should be exciting there. Oh no, we're running out of time. LCD, I used to use the SDF Mastodon, but then it would crash on me all the time. Years ago, this would happen. It would just crap out on me. So I still gave him some money. I don't know, gave him $20 or something. But I don't use I don't know. I might go back to it. I might go to the social one. I don't know. I'm using the different one. All right, Tildy. All right, so let's go back over here. Oh, crap. We're really out of time. France and Japan are cooperating on a MOX fuel. Fresh concerns for Zaporizhia because they lost external power again. And Kazakh research reactor recommissioned after fuel conversion. The IVG.1M, that's India Baikonur Gulf.1 Mike research reactor in Kurchatov, Kazakhstan, is ready to resume experiments. Following the completion of a project to convert it from using highly enriched uranium, HEU fuel, to low enriched uranium, LEU fuel, the country's National Nuclear Center announced. So, there you go. Anyway, sorry, I wish we had more time to delve into it, but... Huh. I think the, anyway. We're running out of time. Oh, there's another yellow jacket nest. There's another yellow jacket nest where I was standing. That's why there were so many yellow jackets around me. Jesus. Anyway, this has been news to me. If I'm not eaten by wasps, I will be back tomorrow. Please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe coming up in just a minute. And then stick around for Harry Larry at 20 hours. Oh, buddy. Gotta walk away. From all the wasps, but see you next time. Oh, wait, we still have some time. Dubious Goals Committed coming up next. Dubious Goals. Dubious Goals.